At Ritual, we're celebrating all moms this Mother's Day, current and aspiring. So whether you're looking for fertility support, natal choline, or our best-selling clinically backed prenatal, we've got you covered. Find your Ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 in top 5 products. Here at Ritual, we know that a mother's support isn't limited to one day a year. And we believe that yours shouldn't be either. So this Mother's Day, we're honoring the world's biggest supporters with science-backed daily rituals that center you not just today, but every day. Whether you're thinking about motherhood, actively trying, or already there, we've got you covered for when it matters most. From fertility support and natal choline to our best-selling clinically backed prenatal multivitamin, know that you're getting clean, traceable key ingredients in bioavailable forms. Because let's be honest, you don't have time for guesswork. Find your Ritual. Go to ritual.com/podcast and for a limited time, get 40% off your first month. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Based on net sales from industry data, including Nielsen IQ, Stackline, and Numerator as of Q4 2024 in top 5 products.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter, and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. A bit later than normal. Couldn't get people to join. And Paddy's joined. Thanks for joining, Pad. And Pete, Steve can't join. I now realise... Oh, Steve has shown his face from Malta, no less. I was going to say, Pad, right? Pete and Steve probably won't join because they're so embarrassed. Embarrassed the hammering I gave them last week in shuffleboard. It was embarrassing for them. It really was, wasn't it?
Who went on the virtual dancer?
That's the side event. The main event is shuffleboard, let's be honest. It's like watching the boxing. When you see the main card come up, you're waiting through. When's the main event start? But they put all these undercards on. You're not looking for that.
It requires a very loose wrist, though, doesn't it? So I can imagine you'd be...
Good wrist action, yes. I've got the weight... That's what I love sometimes when they... Literally, so many times Pete and Steve messed up by knocking nays off. Trying to knock my... What are they called? Pucks? They call that?
Pucks. Yeah, pucks.
Knocking their puck off and their potential scoring puck off as well. Brilliant.
Not that I want to throw Pete under the... I think Pete was knocking my pucks off. I think it was that way round rather than the other way round.
No, he's very aggressive though, isn't he?
Yeah, Pete was dreadful, honestly. Embarrassing. You know, Pete's quite a fit-looking guy, isn't he? He cycles a lot. You'd think he'd have it. But he literally was... sometimes I'd laugh my head off. It was so embarrassing. I don't know what it was with him. I don't know if it was, but and we swapped teams then. It was Megan and Pete and Steve versus me and Megan. It's nice having a partner you can kiss, and grab and grope after a good point score, I did the same when I swapped to play with Steve. But then we swapped him, didn't we? And even then, who came onto my team? Pete came onto my team. And Peter was worst, he was the worst of all. That's why he's not on this podcast, he's embarrassed. But even I won with Pete, so it shows
where you were at the Boom Battle Bar, right?
Yeah, Boom Battle Bar, should say that. XP Factory is the parent company. It owns escape rooms, and it was a busy game, wasn't it, Steve? Every time we cleared off a game, another game filled, someone came in. And literally, back to back, as soon as you leave one game, someone jumps in on the next game. And that was, early Saturday afternoon. So it's looking good. It is one of those things, I do genuinely think now, as we go through generations, the kids' generations want more. It's like on TikTok, they want almost entertaining every 3 seconds. They've got attention span of a gnat, haven't they? And literally, they need entertaining all the time. And I think we are going to a generation now where you need entertaining pretty much. It's okay to sit down at a bar now and again, but you do get the stage where if you go out for an event, you want to do something. And those are perfect. I genuinely think it's going to be here for a generation, and they're going to get better and better and better, these sort of competitive socialising areas. So there's plenty in the market, I know, but that just shows how buoyant the market is and how much demand for it is. But, a good weekend. I drank way too much. Apparently on the Friday.
Way too much.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing on the Friday. So I had cider, then it went on to Prosecco. I think that combo there is a bit deadly.
A lot of bubbles.
Anyway, Pat, you were at rugby, weren't you? And we heard that all protesters got on the pitch, didn't they?
Yeah, stop it was all. Weird.
Well, I didn't realize much all was used at the rugby, to be honest.
I know. Like, I completely agree with their what they're trying to do, but I do wonder whether they are taking everyone along for the ride with their way of trying to publicise it. Yeah. I wonder whether perhaps they're turning more people off than on. One of them was on the news agent's podcast this week, and she was very, very... I guess if you're protesting, if you put your life and soul into this, then you're going to be. But she was very proud of what they'd achieved, and I'm not sure they've achieved a huge amount. But
well, someone did say something. I don't know if it's true. I don't know who it was said this, and it's sort of stuck in my mind. Said the protests, literally, unless you disrupt, you don't really get any action on it. I mean, it's okay be sending polite emails and leafleting people, but generally, people tend to ignore it, and it's only when you disrupt during a high level people tend to pay attention. And whether you hate it or like it, you have to create attention for the issue, and yet it will inconvenience people. And they say their argument is, okay, so we're stopping you getting to work, okay, there will be no humanity around in 20-40 years time. That's what they're saying, so there's a bigger priority.
I understand that, but I don't understand why are they not protesting outside Shell's offices? Why are they not like do these things against the oil companies and against the government who are allowing the oil companies to get the oil, like protest, like stopping a rugby match doesn't. Yeah. I don't know whether that makes a huge amount of sense, but
We're talking about it. So if they're at Shell all the time, would it create that kind of that coverage?
I think the general public would be fully on board with them spraying Shell's offices with orange paint. I don't think many people would have any issues with that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Do it every day.
Yeah. I was going to say, Steve, you may want to plug your thing. Steve is in Malta. He's got a cracking gig. He's got a gig for a month. He's in Malta, and he's filming this live stream sort of Big Brother style reality TV show with gamers.
Really?
Yeah.
Gamers and streamers, yeah. It's 2 weeks with four girls, four boys in a house. A bit like Love Island, Big Brother, but then obviously with the gaming aspect, because we all know how big the gaming world is at the moment. So I'm out here in Malta for a month.
It's quite clever, isn't it? Gamers have a big following, don't they? I mean, all these people, Love Island, most of them are not known before going there, but gamers already have that habitat, that ecosystem of people that follow them already. So I'm assuming you get a nice bit of traffic from them. And So if people want to just check it out, Steve, what's it called? House of Streams, is it on YouTube?
Yeah, so just Google House of Streams or go on YouTube. And I think, they do it on Twitch as well, but I think YouTube will be the bigger channel for the more commercial market. And then obviously the gamers will probably be on Twitch.
Yeah, so check that out. It's a good gig for a month, Steve, isn't it?
Are they playing games while they're in there, Steve?
Yeah, it splits up into the day. So part of the day will be obviously just more natural reality kind of stuff, as you see like in Love Island and Big Brother. Then there'll be parts where they're playing games against each other and interacting with viewers and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Well, Steve just said he managed to get through customs with 13 bags weighing 200 kilograms. I thought that's nothing. You've not been in our family on holidays. That's nothing, Steve. That's a regular occurrence. Every car we have, we jam pack it. We can't, no matter the size of the car, it's always jammed. We're always forcing stuff, almost forcing our house into the car. Even if we go to Centre Park, it doesn't work. We can't put our house in the car. It doesn't work. Physically, it doesn't work. We seem to have no space whatsoever. No matter where we go, for how long it is, the car is literally, it stresses me out. Packing the car, just forcing stuff in,
This was a different story. It was funny on the Malta ends, because we had these flight cases with like 30 grand cameras in them, and we came out, we got off the plane and walked into the airport, and they were just literally sat in the terminal.
Oh mate, it's
like
terrifying, isn't it? Every time.
Because they're oversized bags in like flight cases, so they don't go in the carousel. Yeah. So they literally just pull them through some doors and just leave them in, literally in the middle of the airport.
Yeah, your 30 grand camera's just like left there.
Right, a field day, wouldn't it?
Or you try and get through customs to get your passport stamp because
God, the local thief there would have a field day, wouldn't he? I unpacked that, took that home, just unpacked all that. Whoa, all right, I've lucked out here. That'd be a deal. Talking about a deal, guys, Polarian.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. That is what is needed, you know? Now, I'll explain the deal, but did you see earlier in the day there was an RNS you probably would have not noticed, right? Slipped by earlier in the day. It was an extension of warrants, Now, you know, warrants are the right or the option to subscribe for some shares at a certain price, you know. So they're a good deal normally for employees and stuff. Now, the board approved an extension of the expiry date of 852,822 warrants over the ordinary shares of the company. Now, these warrants were held by Mr. Kenneth West, the chairman, right? And they extended them from the 31st of July, 2023, to the 31st of July, from the current expiry date of the 2nd of June. So they would have expired yesterday, right? But they extended them by, 2 months? That's all. Hang on, these warrants have been around for 10 years. They haven't been exercised, so sitting there, he hasn't bought the shares. I thought, why have they extended them by just 2 months? They've been around for 10 years. And I did say this in Discord. Is something going to happen? Because, you know, if they expire, you can't exercise them. So they extended them by 2 months. That was a very odd thing, wasn't it? They've been around for 10 years. And yet, what's an extra 2 months going to do? What's that going to achieve? Anyway, later in the day, Polarian collaboration with Philips on ISM RM 2023. And Philips is one of the biggest MRI manufacturers and scanners. And this is the way forward. It's okay, Polarian going to one hospital here, one hospital there. That's not the way forward. The way forward, a platform like Philips or like GE or some of that, getting your tech into their systems, their new MRI scanners. That's the way forward. That's the way you get around the world very quickly on several different layers. And so this, to me, is the first of many. It's non-exclusive, just collaborations. So that means they can work with other MRI manufacturers. But I think if you just look at Philips, for example, you know, massive company, and they won the sort of number one med tech company in Boston, consulting the most top 50 most innovative companies. They won the number one. And also another thing, eighth year in a row, in 2020, the eighth year in a row, Derwent is a top 100 global innovators report, identifies the world's most innovative organisations, and Philips won it 8 years in a row. Now, that said something to me. In this space, you know, Philips are like a big innovator, so they lead, and they've already started now with Polarian's tech. To me, this validates. For a long time, we've sort of known how good Polarian's tech is. We said, you know, all the universities on the world are peer-reviewed papers, are writing, you know, over 100 peer-reviewed papers. Oxford University, Cincinnati Children's Hospital, these are leaders, key opinion leaders, are adopting Polarian's tech. But you need, you know, the validation of a big manufacturer, MRI manufacturer. That's what's going to get them out there. They've now got that. That is a big deal. So I like this. I think for a long time, I got out of playing because it didn't get through FDA first time and jumped the bounce score. But this is getting me very interested in playing shares again. I think now, but the game is back on track. The game is on here, Polarian. It's very exciting.
Do you reckon they just buy them at some stage?
Yeah, well, they could do, couldn't they? It's because it makes...
What's the market cap now? I mean, it must be small change for a company.
Yeah, exactly. 60 million, something like that. Exactly. And they're worth, 6 billion, something like that? So, yeah, they could just buy them. But the thing is, Polarian may not want that. I mean, it's a very good offer, because like I said, this is non-exclusive. So Polarian can go with all the Siemens, GE, they can go with all those, you know? And then one of them may want to buy them. But what's the better deal here? If Philips buy them, then it can't be in any other manufacturer, I assume. I don't know. But
if I was GE now, I'd be going, well, should we just go and buy them? And then we've got that thing exclusively.
Mm. Well, yeah, but again, the upside is huge because if you are a GE, right? I mean, if you just do a search on imaging, Polarian imaging and all that, you'll see it comes up Philips. And you know, GE now and Siemens, and behind the curve a bit. They haven't got the best tech. You know, Philips has made the first... And let's be honest, it hasn't been long. What do you think? For shareholders, it's been long because there are a couple of problems. But if you look at it, it hasn't been long since they are now got their kit in their new system. It's like, that's quite quick, isn't it, from FDA approval on that? Because it takes a long time to do that. So that's quite quick. So I'm assuming, if I'm the head of GE now, and Siemens, the top three there, I mean, hang on, Philips have got a stride in this here, haven't they? You've got to innovate in this space, haven't you? If that's the best tech and you want to find the best results and you want to look into, you know, people's lungs properly, you've got to have the best tech. Now, just installing these things for these companies is not a big deal. It doesn't cost them. It's worth it because it's a value add to their machines. It makes the machines the best in the world. So I like the space they're in now. It's literally having, if you're going back to the selling your house analogy, it's literally having, you know, you've got one buyer already made a bid, And there's two standing next to you. You've got to make a bid. They really want the house. They've got to make a bid. So I think now this is a good move forward. By the way, Pelerin just says, Pelerin's vision is to help address the global unmet medical needs of more than 500 million patients worldwide suffering with chronic respiratory disease. 500 million. That's a lot. Broker forecast at the moment, quid a share, which is a, four bagger from here, or 24, 26 pence. But I think that could change. I think that could go up. But yeah, it's very
exciting times.
It is, at last. Amazing. Private investors, we knew this was good tech. And all of a sudden, in the last month or so, where's the deals? I'm starting to doubt this. It's got to be really
Do you think
good.
Maybe they were holding back on the smaller deals because they knew this one was coming?
Yeah, well, like I said, the way to, like, how can the analogy? If you've got something, a good product, right, and you go and try and sell it door to door, it's going to take you a long time to literally, make some money. Then all of a sudden, you do the deal with the post office, and they say, we'll deliver more of your information. That's the kind of thing. Okay, you've gone from delivering 100 leaflets a day to millions. So it's that kind of upscaling. You need a manufacturer on board who are already.
And your man with his warrants, so he gets his money back now, does he?
Well, I don't know what the cost of the warrants were. He got quite a few anyway, but that was a clue there. But Mr. Kenneth Holes, he owns 2.8 million warrants of the shares. In addition, also options for 2.6. He's doing quite well. I don't know what level they're kicking at. It's good news for Pelerin, first and foremost. Very good, I think. Excellent. It's what's
new. And it shows a state of the market, though, because did it go up by about 10% and then it came back down to about 6%, which is mental. For news like that, you should be getting...
It does show the
300.
Yeah, it does show the state of the market. It shows that people are very bearish, and on one hand, bearish and underwater, maybe out of profit. They lost a lot of money on this. I'm sick of this. I'm just getting out. And so they saw a little rise and they sold. Secondly, I think they don't understand the significance of this news. It's huge. Companies I hold, for example. If you look at the company I deal with the big companies. Truefin, for example, right? And Stargo, and hooking up with Lloyd's and Sage. That's a dream collaboration. You don't get sub 100 million market caps hooking up with two FTSE 100 companies, or like deal with Pelerin. That's the dream collaboration. Those kind of things. You want to get in the door to these kind of companies is very, very hard, and then also put you on the ticket with them. Wow, it's phenomenal. It really is. It's like one of the best. If you're a young football player playing away, and someone like Messi comes to see you and says, "Oh, that kid, he's brilliant. Pick him, on our team, the juniors in our team." It's one of those kind of things. It's like one lifetime.
But also, if you're a Philips customer already, and this is already set up and ready to go, it just makes it easy. It's just a little bolt on, isn't it? It's just a little easy thing to add in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it is value add. It's like. Getting a brand new car and having an okay engine, or having the best top of the range engine. If you're a smart looking nice car, you want a good engine with it. It makes their machines the best, the most advanced. And everyone wants that. In the world of medical technology, you've got to be the best. You can't be average.
You might as well give it a go, eh?
Anyway, do you see the markets though, right? The US markets are rallying. And an example, all-time high for NASDAQ, right, was a year ago or something, 16,028. It's now at 13,240. It's not far off, it's higher. And yet interest rates at 5%, and the cost of living is at 40-year high. Does this make sense? I'm not convinced by this. Now, a lot of this NASDAQ rally is AI-driven. All these big companies want AI, and the bubble, and the expectation of what AI will do. It can change. Of course, it'll change many industries. But it's reminding me a little bit in the moment, in those bigger spaces, of the dot-com boom of 1999.
Great.
And we know what happened to that bubble,
Wow, let's just ride it, shall we?
Yeah, but we saw a bit of liquidity, in the markets yesterday and Thursday. But I'm not convinced. I'm largely in cash. I've got, I've got almost close to 60% cash. So, and I'm
get involved.
I know. I'm not going to get involved because, I'm looking at the inverted yield curve. Right now, Steve will explain what that's about. Steve's
always looking at that.
Yeah, do you know what, it's a bit, I sometimes overcomplicate the description of it, so simplify it for
me? Yeah, go on.
No, 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 I'll overcomplicate and I'll confuse everyone. This has happened many times before. You just go for it. Just
okay.
go on.
Okay, you know government bonds, you know what they are, basically government IOUs. You know, you get paid, you know, an interest rate to hold those, pretty much, you know. And depending on the length of that, you know, bond, you know, so they go for 2-year, you know, bond, 30-year bonds. Normally, the 30-year ones offer, you know, higher interest rate because you're holding for longer, there's more risk attached. And the shorter duration ones give shorter, you know, smaller interest rate payments, you know. At the moment, that's the wrong way round. The shorter duration are high and the longer duration are lower. Doesn't happen very often. I mean, so if you plot, you know, that curve, literally it inverts. It goes from top left to bottom right, you know, on the chart. Because the 2-year is going to... Now, that doesn't happen normally. A normal, healthy economy, you'll see the other way around, is going up from bottom left, top right. That's not happening. This has inverted to a point now, it's unprecedented. It, literally, we've not seen the inversion this steep before. It's like minus 0.6. Whereas before, even on the last few recessions, it's gone down minus 0.2, minus 0.3. But it's not been down. At one point, it was a whole 1% point minus. And that's never sort of happened. And why is this happening? And if you look back at it, right, it is predicted, the inversion of the yield curve has predicted every recession since 1955. Only one false signal during that time. It even predicted the economic downturn that followed the COVID-19 pandemic, although most people were saying that was luck. But it did it. It predicted it, you know? And so the time between inversion of the yield curve and recession ranges from 6 to 24 months. So... It when it invert, let me just check this out. But 6 to 24 months and inverted. Let's look in July, 2022. So we're, you know, we're not even a year on yet. So I think.
America, and you started talking about America with this, but the sort of levels of investment that we're seeing over there because of this because of Biden's bill are pretty unprecedented, right? Yeah. Is that not going to like counteract the effects of a recession for them at least?
I don't know. It's also a bit skewed because
job creation over there is through the roof. Investments through. I mean, all the things that should stop a recession are going in the right direction.
Yeah, but we said employment's quite good, but again, that's what's going to bring it down because I just genuinely think with it costs this high for it. Maybe. And also, listen, central banks affect the short term, bonds because they set interest rates and all that stuff. So it does affect that. So it may be one of those false signals. But it's a massive, you know, signal showing. It's bigger than any other signal previously. And I think, what's going on here? And also, we've got this debt ceiling going through. People say this is very good. So markets have rallied on the debt ceiling thing because essentially the Fed were going to be in default. They couldn't pay their bills, essentially. So they've had the parliament and the government have agreed to raise the debt ceiling. Now, what happens there, right, is that they will need to issue more debt. So this is a bit worrying as well because the debt ceiling goes up, they have to issue more bonds. So the Treasury expected sort of basically issue lots of bonds, sucking a lot of billions of dollars of cash from the market, essentially. So we may have a little rally here. And if you look at previous sort of, you know, dips in the markets, there have been sort of, precursors have been a rally, pretty much, and then it falls off. The UK and US are poised to fall into recession. That's been written by sort of, look at that. In fact, what I'm going to do, boys, right? This is a half an hour short podcast, because we have things to do, lots of things to do. Pick one headline you want me to follow up on, right? Steve and Pad, right? So I'll go through them. I've got 9 headlines. Pick one each, all right?
Number 7.
Let's see what 7 is. That's a good way of doing it, Steve. That's a new format. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, almost 800 deals are pulled as concerns mount over interest rates. That is about, do you see that? Did you read that about mortgage deals? I'm always astounded by how many mortgage deals there are out there. You know, I thought that, how many types of mortgages? I thought, how many mortgages do you get? 2 or 3? This hasn't happened. It's an echo of the crisis that followed Liz Truss and Quartin's mini budget. But UK banks and building societies have pulled almost 800 residential buy-to-let mortgages in the past. These are buy-to-let deals. And they're saying buy-to-let landlords, and I know a bit about this, are selling their properties because it's no longer viable. In the echo of the crisis engulfed this trust, they said, no, 7% in a week. Residential mortgage deals have fallen by almost 7% in a week, according to figures. That's in a week. That's crazy. So there's something going on, isn't there?
Britain is
the current of worry here.
Britain is not heading in a good direction, is it?
No.
Inflation's not coming down as quick as they were hoping. Stuff like this doesn't suggest that we're heading in the right direction anytime soon.
We have the highest inflation in the G7. It's silly high compared to everyone else. But isn't this? Have a guess how many residential mortgage deals are out there.
12,000.
Steve, higher.
Higher?
50,000.
No, lower. Sorry, I'm in the wrong way. Lower than 12,000.
7,000.
It's not hard. If I'm seeing a game show and getting that wrong, is that going the wrong way? It's not hard. Is that, what are you saying, Steve?
7,000.
Bit lower.
5,000. Yeah.
5,385 mortgages, residential mortgages, are on offer on the 22nd of May, and that went down to 5,012 on Tuesday morning, a reduction of 373 products in a day. So that's a little bit worrying.
Is it worrying? Like, is this not one of these things where you write a natty headline that actually doesn't really, make a difference to anyone if there's 5,000 as opposed to 5,300?
Well, those ones tend to be the ones that are easier to get for people, that are hard as well, they're not stringent. So, and then they're pulling I suppose so, but it does reduce sort of liquidity in the housing market, less sales will go through. And we know the housing market is not just a housing market, it stimulates a lot of other economies, building trade, DIY, all this, so it in a brick building, brick making, timber, all that. So it stimulates a lot of the economies. So if this goes down,
I just sometimes think with these, sometimes we can talk ourselves into these things being a problem. Like if there's a few less buy to let mortgages out there,
This is also residential mortgages. That was down also part of those. So people can't even buy houses if they're on a property ladder. We're all homeowners, aren't we? We're all grown homeowners. Are you a homeowner, Pad?
Yeah.
And Steve's okay. Yeah. Pad 1 to 9. That was number 7. I this is a good idea, Steve, because if I just read the headlines, Paddy, I knew which one Paddy would have gone for. But I'll read that headline after he's picked. So he's gone for 7 out of 1 to 9. Pad, go for 1.
1.
Number 1. Okay.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is accused of insider trading in Dogecoin lawsuit. To me, that was pretty obvious. Because he was literally pumping Dogecoin, wasn't he? I don't know if you saw that, Dogecoin.
Doge.
On Wednesday, a night filing in Manhattan federal court, investors said Musk used Twitter posts, paid online influencers, his 2021 appearance on NBC's Saturday Night Live, and other publicity stunts to trade profitably through Doge. That is nuts. The world's richest man is pumping a crypto asset. And he's doing well with it. So he literally, investors said, this included when Musk sold about $124 million of Dogecoin in April after he replaced Twitter's blue logo with Dogecoin Shiba. Did you see that? He actually replaced the logo of Twitter with, a crypto currency. It's like nuts, isn't it?
It was just on his account.
No, the Twitter icon, the little bird across all of Twitter, he replaced with a little doggy face.
Really?
Yeah, for like a week.
No way.
Yeah.
He didn't own Twitter then.
No, this was recently. This was recently. He did it like because some people didn't know what it was. What's this new logo? It was literally about a month ago. And it was replaced for like 2 or 3 days.
Shows how little I look at Twitter now, but yeah. I didn't even notice that.
How can nobody like in the legal team in Twitter go, hang on a minute, Musk, that's quite bad.
He sacked them all. There's no one there now.
Exactly, he sacked them all. And literally, Musk, he's a world rich man. Didn't be driving up Dogecoin price. He drove it up apparently over 2 years by more than. I would guess what percentage he drove it up by? They reckon
2,000.
Higher. A lot higher. They reckon in 2 years he drove up the price of Dogecoin by 36,000%.
Ow.
Letting it crash. So that was that. So that was our headline. Now I think the one you would like to go with, Pad, right? Is that. Sonic the Hedgehog co-creator may face jail over alleged insider trading. Network of geothermal power stations could help level up the UK. That's worth reading. But this one, Pad.
I don't think that's feasible, but go on.
Yeah, Brexit was historic economic error which pushed up inflation.
I know we chat in our group about this. I'm interested, as you voted for this, is your mindset changing ever so slightly on this yet, or are you still?
Yes.
Still, really?
You know, in retrospect, I mean, you know, when you get the facts, change your mind. You know, originally, what I didn't like, I mean, there's the political side of it, being controlled by Europe, being told what to do. I thought, no, hang on, we've got enough innovation here. And if we did a good deal, then we could still be a trading partner on equal terms. But you realise it's a closed shop to a certain extent. And when your biggest trading partner sort of shuts you out and you have problems, and you can't have... I think Rishi Sunak is doing the right thing by befriending them now. And because that's how it works. You're not going to do deals with somebody you don't get on with. You know, when Truss was telling you they're rubbish and all that, or Boris, I didn't need those, that's not the way you do business. Now, you know, and it comes down to me about business. It's about... politicians should be there to facilitate... business, pretty much, to help people have, you know, good businesses, employ people, good, and of course they've got good standards within those businesses, but they shouldn't get in the way of business. And I feel what they've done by ramping up the rhetoric, saying Britain is better, we don't need you, that's not going to help. That's not going to help our businesses or anyone at all. So I think, you know, in my mind's eye, I thought it could have been Britain, as a quite innovative country, we could have gone forward, helped ourselves a lot. But even that's not happening. Like Europe at the moment and America are helping their industries with all these subsidies on green energy, and we're not doing it. And they, what?
We just can't afford to compete on that same level. It's just impossible for a country, especially a country who's screwed themselves over in the meantime and got themselves into so much trouble. Like there's not the spare cash available to help invest in a way that you might like to.
Yeah. Well, this is about. Do you know what? This former U.S. I know it's sad. So part of me thinks now. Yeah, I think we've made it. And I'm not a Brexiteer who's like Britain. You know, get all the immigrants. To me, we need immigration. And to me, this arbitrary figure of saying we're going to have 100,000 people. No, that's ridiculous. In my head, putting a figure on immigration is absolutely ridiculous. You can thrive or can crash on lack of immigration. We need how many people we need. How many people does the business say we need? Ask them. Don't just put a random figure on it and say, we're not going to let 100,000, 100,000 people in. No. Ask businesses what they need to make their businesses run efficiently. Ask them. That's the figure. And if you put it, and it's not going to be a round figure. You know, it'll change most years. To me, it's just that's one example of the idiocy of them. Everything getting politicised about immigration, all this. We thrive on immigration. America thrives on immigration. Don't be so stupid. It's almost been a political ball rather than an economic ball. But we've got 1 minute left. But this was, by the way, a former US Treasury Secretary, Larry Summers. He slammed UK's departure from the European Union as a mistake that hampered international competitiveness and labour supply. He also warned the UK is likely to face a recession in the next 2 years. Well, probably so with other countries. Germany's in recession, anyway. But Brexit will be remembered as an historic economic error that reduced the competitiveness of the UK, put downward pressure on the pound, upward pressure on prices, limited imports. So he's basically down it. And it is hard.
I still think a lot of these things that people like him talk about are very... they're not real to most people. Like you list off those things and it just sounds like words to the vast majority of the population. I think until a politician and hopefully someone from Labour at some stage is able to articulate all of that in far more easy to understand terms, we're not going to turn the tide of a lot of people. People are sick to death of hearing about this. It needs to be someone who is able to put all this together into simple to understand terms and say, look, we are poorer now than we used to be. And the countries like Poland are now doing dramatically better than the UK. And that's a dramatic turn.
Yeah, again, figures can also be manipulated, like coming from a smaller base, maybe. I don't know how it works with that. But yeah, but I thought, was it Chris Patton on BBC Question Time?
Yeah.
He did a very good, it's worth looking at that, just saying, and he put it in sort of round figures, saying, yeah, we are now paying more for prices than anyone else. If we're paying more, our productivity is lower. Literally, the lowest 20% of people are poorer than the lowest 20% in Poland, whatever that is. And so, yes, this is having a lasting effect, and it may take a while to get out of it. But I think we need more collaborative deals with, of course, Europe and the rest of the world. And at the time, it was used as a political thing. You know, we're Britain, and it was voted on because there's two reasons why. It's Corbyn was there, but people didn't want to vote for it anyway. But also, it was championed a lot of, so people went from Labour to just vote on that policy of immigration. That's not the point. I mean, it's, you know, it was politicised a lot. I was thinking, what about the economic benefits? That's what it should be looked at. And they lied about that to a certain extent. Anyway.
That's good, half hour, lads. Well done.
All right. Have a nice time, Steve. House of Streams, check that out. And yeah, it's a nice little gig there. Who's presenting that, Steve? Is it Lady from Skies, man?
Yeah, Nicole Holland. Nicole Holiday.
Holiday, that's her name. That's nice, isn't it? And she's in Malta. Yeah. That's all right. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Speak to you next week.
Yeah? All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.